All right, be opening your Bibles to 2 Timothy, please, if you will, this morning. Last year, I can't remember if it was first semester or second semester, but Dr. Baker was here and preached a message that really impressed me. Just a practical thing. It wasn't really dynamic, but just a practical thing on church growth and different ways to reach people and all the different things you can do to get the gospel out. And I thought that was just so very practical. And down the line, that was a blessing to my heart. So I want today just to do something like that. It won't be as good as him because I'm not as good a preacher as him. But anyway, be the best I can with missions. How you can be successful as a missionary. You know, what that means and what is success and some things like that. But just some practical steps to take. Now, I'm the Europe director for BIMI. And people ask me sometimes, what's a director do? They think that we direct. Well, we have missionaries that are independent Baptists. All right? It's like trying to herd cats. You don't really direct them. You just sort of, I guess I suggest things to them. And then they do what they want to do. And that's okay because that's sort of what I appreciated when I was on the field about BIMI. They leave you alone to do your ministry according to what God has directed you and how that He has led you to do that within certain parameters, of course, that you agree to when you come with the missions agency. But BIMI lets people conduct their ministries as God leads them. And my job really is to assist them, to help them, to encourage them, to offer insight where I can. Now, the truth of the matter is I've been with BIMI now for 30 years, and I have some missionaries in Europe that have been on the field longer than I've been a missionary. So they know more about this than I do. But I've got some young guys that are going that occasionally will listen, and I can help. And that's my job, is to help people. And to facilitate and to try to make it as easy for them as I can, as successful as I can. One thing I don't want to see is a young man and lady go to the mission field and fail. Boy, I don't like that. Amen? Don't want to see people fail. I've seen it so many times. Carol and I were privileged to serve the Lord in Romania for 18 years. And in 18 years of serving there together, we saw 17, by my count, independent Baptist families come and leave in those years in Romania. And Romania is not a very big country, and multiply that across across Europe. I knew a lot of them because it's not that big a place. They failed for different reasons, I suppose, and some discouragement, others moral failure, different things that happened, lack of preparedness and so forth. But I saw the results of what that does. It hurts the work. It really does. And many of you are aware, because some of you here are missionary kids and you've been down the road of deputation before, you know what it takes to get to the mission field. You know the labor, the travel, the money. It takes well over $100,000 just before you can get a missionary on the field. And all the churches that have invested in that, and he goes over there and stays a few months or a year and then bails out, and that hurts the supporting churches. It's hard to get people excited about giving when missionaries have given no return on investment at all, and in a manner of speaking. It hurts the people on the field. You get a handful of people together excited about the missionary being there. Maybe a few of them get saved, and all of a sudden he's gone. It makes it twice as hard for the next missionary coming in to ever gain their trust again. I've seen some of those families, because of the stress involved in that, it breaks up marriages and hurts children and ruins homes. There's no upside to missionary failure. It's all down. Amen? So we don't want to do that. We want to succeed. And by the way, if God has called you to a place, you can succeed. He wouldn't have called you there to fail, you know. And so I want you to think about this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 5, I'm just going to talk about a few things. And they're related in a way, but it's not like an actual message this morning. Paul said this to Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Paul's being a cheerleader here. He said, Timothy, God has called you. Get with it. Do the work. Endure afflictions. That comes with it. Do the work of evangelists and make full proof of thy ministry. Go to it. Get the job done. And if God has called you to a place, then get with it. Amen? God has called you there. He'll give you a ministry and so forth. Make full proof of thy ministry. 2 Timothy 4:7, just a couple verses later. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul, in his last writing here, as he closes out his ministry, looks back over his ministry, said, I've been successful. I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. That's what we want to say. Amen. That's where we want to be at the end of our days. We want to look back on it and say, I've been faithful to the God who gave himself for me. I've been faithful to him. I preached here before about the thing of success. Now, success doesn't look the same for everybody. You don't have to meet somebody else's standard. All you have to do is be faithful to do what God called you to do. Don't try to measure up to somebody else's standard. You just be faithful and do what God's called you to do. That's success. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. That's failure. That's failure. Well, we don't want to be failures. We want to be successes. I'm giving this message this morning to those who have seen their need, the need of the lost world around them. You've seen it with your heart as well as your eyes, and your eyes have affected your heart, and you have a burden to reach the lost with the gospel. I'm preaching this to those who have surrendered unconditionally and unreservedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've said, I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, and I'll do it just as long as you want me to. You're the ones I'm preaching to today. I'm preaching to those who have sensed God's call to serve as a missionary, either here at home or on a foreign field somewhere. And you've said, I want to invest my life in reaching the lost for the glory of God. Did you know those conditions I just gave would have fit every one of those 17 families that failed that I talked about in Romania? Every single one of them, if I'd have said when they first came there, now, do you see the need of the lost? You want to reach these people? Oh, yes, yes. Have you surrendered yourself to the Lord? Oh, yes, we're here in Romania. We've given all to come here. They sensed God's call. They wanted to invest their life in reaching the lost, and yet they quit. You know why they do that? Many fail because they don't plan to succeed. They don't plan to fail, but because they don't plan, they fail. You've got to plan to succeed. It doesn't happen by accident in any area of life. You don't just blunder into success. You have to work your way into it. There are certain things that will help you and certain things that will hurt you. So let's talk about that a little bit. Number one, take time to sharpen your axe. That's what you're doing, all right? You're here in college. I was talking yesterday about the importance of all of those that God has put in our life. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. To think back over our time since we were saved, you will someday, as you look back on your college days, your seminary days, and you realize the kind of men and women that God put in your life to instruct you. What a wonderful place you're in here at Ambassador Baptist College. The faculty here, if you look at their disciplines and the amount of work they put in each of their respective disciplines, just so they can stand before you and the knowledge and the experience that they've gained impart to you. They're multiplying themselves in each of you. They really are. And you're benefiting from that. Each of us are the product of our history, are we not? And the parents we had, the opportunities we've had, the pastors we've had, the professors we've had, the people we've been working with, the people that have been co-laborers with us, we're all the product of that. And God has you here and He directed you here to prepare yourself for the ministry that He has either called you to or is going to call you to. That's not wasted time. I know this, if you come to Europe and you go to West Europe, you better know your stuff. West Europe is the place where the liberal theology was born, and it's still there. And if you don't know what you're talking about and you go to some of those places, they'll have you for lunch. I'm not trying to scare you. I want you to go, but I'm wanting you to go with knowledge and understanding and a command of the Word of God that you can go there and teach and with confidence and not be confounded by it. Take time to sharpen the axe. It's not wasted time. Then do this. Determine to go for a lifetime before you ever leave. Here, I'm going to give you 7 or 8, 9 things that I want you to do before you ever even leave for the mission field. Number one, determine that when you go, you're going for a lifetime. Acts 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He said, this is my life that I'm giving to the Lord. It's not mine. I don't count it dear to myself. When Carol and I went to Romania, we went there intending to spend our last days on earth in that place. God had different direction for us, but had He not led us in a different direction, I would still be there and I'd still be happy in the Lord's work. Amen? I'm as comfortable there as I am here. And some things about Romania, not everything, some things about Romania I like better than here. I like the culture, I like the people, I like the church services. There's so many things I love about Romania. And I went there to stay there. Well, the church that I was pastoring when God called us to go to Romania, when I went to that church, I went for the rest of my life. I didn't intend to ever leave there. And by the way, when I say that, when you go determined to go for a lifetime, don't quit because of problems. If God wants to move you, God can lead you. He's a shepherd, not a butcher. He can lead you, and He does that sometimes. And He does, as you're faithful to Him in areas of responsibility, He'll sometimes expand your ministry and open other doors, but leave that to God. Before you ever leave the shores of the States, you say, I'm going for my lifetime. And do that. That's important. You can't have the attitude that, well, I'm going to go there and try it and see if it works out, because it won't work out. Not if you have that attitude. You won't be there 6 months before you find out that most of the people there couldn't care less if you're there or not. They'd rather have your money. They don't really care about you that much. And if you're not there because of a commitment you made to the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't stay there. You've got to be committed to it. You can't just try and see if it works. You say, this is where God called me, and I'm going to stay there till God moves me someplace else. Church planting is not a short-term project. It takes years. I shared with the preaching class yesterday, Carol and I were probably at least 5 or 6 years into our work in Romania before the people really trusted that we were going to stay there and that we genuinely cared about them. For the first 3 or 4 years, they kept expecting any time for us to get on a plane and go back home. You know why? Because if they could have, they would have. They couldn't imagine Americans coming to a place like that. And so it took a long time for them to understand that we loved them. It takes commitment. It takes years to gain their confidence. And then problems, don't let those run you off. If God wants to move you, He will. Here's something else. Study the history of the people to whom God has called you. You can do that here. You don't have to wait till you get there. Go to the library. I guess that's outdated now. Go online, wherever you go, and start doing all the research you can about the history of the people to whom God has called you. Study their ancient history. Study their modern history. Learn some names and dates and events. That helps you to understand quite often why they are like they are. There are reasons that cultures are different in different places in the world. There are forces in history that have shaped the thinking and the culture of a people. It was interesting to me after the Iron Curtain came down and East Germany came back into Germany. Now, the West Germans expected those just to be welcomed home, but their thinking was vastly different because of the decades of communism. And there was real problems with integration again between East Germany and West Germany. They're still Germans, but their thinking had been shaped by history. Everybody's is. We're all a product of our history. Not only does knowing history help you understand the people better, but when the people realize that you care enough about them to invest in learning about them, they appreciate that. Many, many, many times I would go to Romanians' homes in visitation and sit and talk with them about their recent history and their older history. Very proud people. Every major city you go to in Romania, there's in the very center piazza, there's going to be a statue of the she-wolf with Romulus and Remus nursing. You know the history, do you not? The myth. The founding of Rome, they identify with Rome. Romania, land of the Romans, used to be called Dacia. Romans settled it and all that area there. And they still speak a language very close to Italian. Very proud of that. And by the time I got there, I knew probably more Romanian history than the average uneducated Romanian in a village. Now, certainly not the educated ones, but I was able to converse with them about names and dates and cities. I knew about the stockade of Sarmacetatuzza. I knew about Detchabal and different ones from history. They like that you've taken the time to learn about them. You know, there's more to the world than just American history. Studying the history will help you understand why they have some of the traditions and the culture traits they do. Some of their values may not be our values. All right? I was sharing with a brother, one of the missionaries was over there with me. We weren't there probably 6-8 months. And honestly, because of communism, because of a whole lot of factors that I don't have time to explore, corruption was rampant in Romania when we first got there. There's still a great deal of it today. And that missionary said to me, he said, "Oh, Brother Ed, if I'd have known how corrupt it was over here, I think God might have called me to Spain." I'm thinking, well, do you think God didn't know how corrupt it was here? That's no reason to leave a people. God knows all that stuff. You think about this. I thought about this with Titus. Titus 1:12. Paul says, "As one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies." That's an awful thing to say about people. And then Paul says this, "This witness is true." They are. They really are. "Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith." All right, sure, they've got problems. That's why you're there. Amen? That's why God called you there. We got our problems too, for that matter. If you ever watch some of these hearings that we've been having, never mind. That's another subject. God is never shocked or surprised. No matter how bad the people are, whatever is going on, they still need the gospel. That's why God sent you there. Don't let that discourage you. They need it desperately. By the way, when you come home on furlough, don't speak disparagingly or condescendingly about the people to whom God has called you. Don't do that. Don't run them down. They're precious enough to God that He sent His Son. And they're precious enough to God that He called you there, so just hush. Don't talk bad about them. All right? That bothers me when I hear missionaries do that. Studying their history actually helps you understand why they think like they do, and you know how to better help them with what they need, and you know where to what things to make a priority in your teaching. That really makes a difference. Number three, start working on the language before you ever get there if you can. A lot of languages in the world, you're able to find ways to study here. There's online courses, different things available to you. If you can get a jump start on it, that's a great thing to do. Many, many courses of study you can start even while you're on deputation. You can start even while you're in college. If you already know that you're going to a Spanish-speaking place, French-speaking, lots of different places in the world, you can get language training available right now. Do it. Take the time and get a good course, all right? Many languages in the world you can't until you get there. We'll talk about that in a minute. Think ahead. Think ahead. You're not going on a camping trip. You're going there to live. Before we went to Romania, it was right after the Iron Curtain had come down a couple years prior, and I knew things weren't very advanced there. I made a trip just to see what I needed to take and what I could get there. I was taking my wife there. And I have a responsibility to take care of my wife too, amen? I wanted to go see what I needed to take to make our life decently comfortable and livable. She trusted me to do that. I'm not sure why, but she did. And she wasn't disappointed. We were fine. We didn't have all the things we have in America, never expected to. But it was fine, and it was livable, and we did stay there for 18 years. Primarily in those first 6 months, we stayed because I didn't have money to buy a return ticket, but we did stay. By the way, for some of you guys, it would be good for you to develop some manual art skills. I would follow these maintenance men around. I'm going to get in trouble with the maintenance men on this, but I'd follow them around and I would watch them as they're working on things. I was in Romania several years before we had any Americans come, and then when the first Americans came over there, it was incredible to me how incompetent some American men are with tools. Honest to goodness, there are guys that wouldn't know a hammer from a saw. And it's embarrassing, it really is. Learn how to do some things, for crying out loud. You ought to be able to do some basic things. I knew missionaries, their wives had to hang the pictures on the walls. Don't do that. Learn how to do some stuff. Start praying for the people. You can do that before you go. Pray for the people. What should you pray for? Well, pray for your initial contacts. Did you know that the church that you're going to start when you get to the field is already there? It's already there. All you got to do is find the people that are going to be members and win them to the Lord and train them. Isn't that right? They're there. God wouldn't call you there. So pray that God makes the connections and puts you in touch with them. They're waiting for you. But when you get off the plane and you go there and you get your apartment or your house, how are you going to make contacts? Who are you going to talk to? How are you going to make the initial, the first convert? Pray that God will set all that up. And by the way, He does do that. He really does. He'll work in your life and He'll work in the circumstances. He'll put you in contact with people. And pray that God blesses those early relationships. Because ministry is about relationship. It really is. You're not going to build a church on the mission field because of your brilliant preaching. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe in good preaching. But first of all, you don't even know the language yet. Secondly, when you do, you're going to be preaching on about a third grade level. They're not going to come because of your great oratory skills. If you win people to Christ, it's going to be because they know that you love them, because you've invested in them, because you go to them. All right? And those first years, they don't come because of your preaching. They come and tolerate your preaching. And they'll help you. All right. Eventually you'll be able to, but that's not how you go at the beginning. Pray for men and ladies to train to take the church over. Before you ever get there, pray that God gives you a Timothy, that God gives you some workers. If you're going to plant indigenous churches, you're going to have nationals that are capable of leading. 2 Timothy 2:2. Amen. Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God, please prepare those for me. Give me some of those. If you want to see churches starting, you've got to have them. I've got missionaries been on the field for 35 and 40 years, don't have anybody to take their church. God can give you men like that. Pray for the bureaucrats you've got to deal with, because you're going to deal with them. You don't have too much of that in America, but I guarantee you most places in the world you go, you're going to go to offices and deal with bureaucrats that have a lot of power and enjoy their power. And pray for them. Pray for grace as you talk with them. Pray for them. And pray that you'll find favor with them. Because there'll be some days there that you're standing in line and dealing with those guys that you're going to think thoughts that you probably shouldn't think. So it'd be good to pray now. Amen. Get your heart ready for it. If possible, here's another thing. If possible, make contact with some veteran missionaries on the field where you're going to go. See if they'll correspond with you. Ask them questions. I know I was eager when a young missionary was thinking about coming to Romania. I wanted to do all I could to answer questions and to help them. Every missionary that I know everywhere in the world, they're begging God for missionaries to come and assist them and work with them. The work needs more bodies. We need more personnel. We want to see people come. So contact them. Ask them questions. And then when they answer your questions, have the decency to listen. You may not agree with everything. You may be right not to agree with everything. But at least consider it. And don't just think that you know so much more than them. Realize that if they're veteran missionaries, they've been there for a few years. They've seen a few things that you've not seen. And they might just possibly be right. Consider it. Consider it. By the way, you can learn from everybody. You can learn one or two. You can learn what to do. You can learn what not to do. I've learned both ways from people. Start collecting resource material. That's something else. Your college notes, your seminary notes. Church Bible studies that you're doing. Sunday school material. If you're going to go to a mission field and you're going to train nationals and you're going to start a Bible institute or someday maybe a college or whatever, take your materials with you. Plan for it. Start putting together courses of study. That's okay. You can do that. You might do some very basic beginning things, you know, and in English, of course, and after you get there and get to the point where you can do some translation work, but start collecting college notes, discipleship materials, children's material. Whatever you get your hands on, start collecting it to take with you. Don't wait till you get there. Have a plan. That's the next thing. Have a plan, a strategy. I was a pastor for 13 years before I became a missionary. And I would have missionaries call me and they'd want to come to support, you know, to present their work and be on deputation. I would always say, all right, where'd you go to school? You know, where's your sending church and all that, and where are you going? And then I'd say, now, what are you going to do when you get to the mission field? And I had some guys that were well thought out and well prepared. Then I had some guys say, well, bless God, I just want to see people saved. Amen. So that's good. I said, how you plan to do that? Well, I'm just going to preach. Okay. I said, are you going to start a church? That's a good idea, preacher. I'm going to start a church. You know, they hadn't thought through things. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't accomplish everything in Romania that I wanted to accomplish. But I accomplished a whole lot more than I would have had I not had a plan going in. Amen. If you don't have a strategy, you don't have the plan, if you don't see where you want to be in 10 years, you're not going to get there. Success happens because of planning and working your plan and working at the elements that make that happen. You can't get to D without going through A, B, and C. There's steps that you take, whether you're here in the States or whether you're on a mission field. If you're going to build a work, there are certain things that have to be done. If you're going to train nationals, there are certain things that have to be done. Have a plan. Think through it. Talk to people who have done it. See what they did. Work it out. Before you ever leave, you should have an idea of what you want to do. Now, don't be so rigid and inflexible that you can't adjust, because that's just the way things are. Sometimes our plans have to be altered a little bit. I shared with Dr. Lucan last night. I went to Tennessee Temple. Dr. Robertson was famous, you know, for saying, right down the line, young people, right down the line. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. Right down the line. Then Dr. Faulkner would get up and he'd say, now be flexible, young people. Be flexible. And both of them were right. They both were right in their own way. So have a plan, and you'll accomplish more for sure. Now, when you arrive on the mission field, get in a good language school if it's available, or find a good professor, a good teacher. Do not ever go to a mission field and just get a national to teach you the language. Don't do that. That won't work. It'd be like somebody from France coming here and finding Bubba to teach him English. All right? That's not the smartest thing to do. All right? Find somebody who can teach. Here's something to write down. I don't care where you go. This is probably true in other places in the world, but I'm speaking about Europe. Whatever city you go to in Europe, any bigger city that's got a university, every university in every country in Europe is going to have language teachers that teach that language to transfer students coming into their school who are not proficient in the language. In Romania, when a transfer student came in from the surrounding countries, they took a proficiency test. If they weren't proficient in Romanian, they could not enroll in the classes for credit until they took 1 year of Romanian. Find that class. Either enroll in the class or take one of the professors and hire them privately. They know how to teach the language. All right? Do it. Don't rely on an interpreter. Don't rely just on a national to help you out. It's an absolute must. If you're not willing to do that, please don't even go. You've got to learn the language. And don't let that scare you. Please don't let it frighten you. Honestly, my wife and I learned Romanian, and I was 39 years old. If I can learn a foreign language, I promise you, every single one of you can. Really. I'm a 75-watt bulb in a 100-watt world. I know that. And if I could learn it, everybody could learn it. Find a qualified teacher. Immerse yourself. That's the secret. Now, that first week or two kind of overwhelming. I shared that in the class yesterday a little bit. But if you're surrounded by it 24/7, if the people you're around speak it and you don't hide and cloister yourself off in a house somewhere, if you'll get out among people, you'll learn the language. It's called immersion. It's like learning to swim. You can't learn to swim by dipping your toes in the water. Amen? I grew up on a farm in southern Indiana. We had river bottom ground. My dad taught me to swim, took me down to the river, threw me in. And honestly, it wasn't hard at all to learn once I got out of that burlap bag. It was a lot easier. But immersion works. You'll learn that way. Get over your pride. Get some humility. A lot of people won't learn the language because they're embarrassed that they'll make mistakes. Well, you're going to make mistakes, and you're speaking on about a first, second grade level. They're going to laugh at you. Learn to laugh at yourself. It's funny. I ordered French fried shoes one time in a restaurant. Oh, and I was so confident. I said, Ashvareya Kartov Prajits. Or not Kartov, Pantov Prajits. And he waited, looked at me and said, Seeger, are you sure? I said, oh, Seeger, I'm sure. He said, no, you're not. You just ordered French fried shoes. So I did worse than that, and I'm not going to tell you about it. Nobody else is either. All right. Fit in. Listen, fit in. This is now your home, all right? If God has called you to a people, remember what Ruth said to Naomi? She said, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Those are your people now. If God called you there, that's your home. Fit in. 1 Corinthians 9:19, Paul said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this do I for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul said, I've learned to fit in. All right? You're not a foreigner there. Not really. If God called you there, that's your people now. All right? Assimilate. Become one of them. Identify with them. If you won't do that, they'll know it. You can't hide that from them. If you have this aloof spirit and you're too good and you're condescending in your attitude toward them, that stands out. That offends them. Don't do that. Go to community events. Go to sports events. Go to cultural events. We had a children's home and still have it over there. And we used to take our kids many, many nights through the wintertime. They would have in their cultural house, they would have different orchestras come. They love classical music over there. Never forget, they had a Stradivarius violinist that came there. He had a Stradivarius violin. Now, I don't know a lot about that stuff, but they had the cello with him and the other orchestration there. It was beautiful, magnificent. And what's that do? Well, the people in the town would see me and my wife taking all those kids from the children's home, and we'd all march in there, and we'd be there together. They would see us together with them. So here's a missionary that loves Romanian kids. All right? That makes a statement to all the Romanians around. They care. They're investing their life and their money here. They care about us. And so the implications of that are far beyond just the kids that were with us. We had people saved because they knew what we were doing there. Look for opportunities to do good. Peter said in his message in Acts 10, we're told that Jesus went about doing good. Do good. It'd be a good thing to do here in the States, too. Look what you can do to be a blessing in your community. Our main church was built in a small village. They didn't have any money, like most small villages in Romania. They had a soccer field, but the soccer field was all growed up in weeds and just about unusable. And so I went to the primar, the mayor of the village, and I said, you know what? I said, as long as we're here and we're building our church here, I will make sure that every couple of weeks that soccer field gets mowed and trimmed so the kids from the village can come here and have a place to play soccer. It didn't cost me any money. I didn't give them any money. I just my labor and my time. And I went there and I'd mow that every couple of weeks. And then after our church started, some of the men started helping me with it. But for the first 2 or 3 years, I would do that every couple of weeks through the summer. And all the kids in the village would come there and they'd have a place to play soccer where the weeds weren't grown up. And the village, they appreciated that. Come time to build our college building. Because of our reputation in the village and the things we had done to help, I had no issues ever getting a building permit there out from the village. Now, that's not why I did it. I did it to be a good neighbor. I did it to be part of the community. But God blesses things like that. And He opens doors for you through things like that. I'd be very careful about giving money out, and we never did that. But there's all kinds of things. The widows in our village, not just the widows in our church, but the widows in our village. We got some men together in the church. I said, let's do this. Let's have a ministry that we go around to some of these widows occasionally and see if there are things in their house that are broken or that need repair, something we can help with that, you know. They can't do it anymore. They don't have a husband anymore. We can help them with some things like that. All it takes is some time and labor. And some of those widows got saved, but even the ones that didn't get saved, the other villagers knew what we were doing, and we had whole families come and join our church and get saved because of what we were doing to help some of the needy in their village. Didn't cost a lot. Just showed compassion, just showed that we cared. That's Christ in action. And what about the children? What if where you go there are a lot of orphan children and people that... Listen, I never went to Romania to start a children's home. That wasn't even in my thinking. I talked about a plan earlier. I planned to go there to plant churches. I planned to go there to start a Bible Institute and train workers for those churches and so forth. That was my plan. Never planned to have a children's home. But we started picking kids up out of the orphanage, bringing them to church, and God touched our heart for that. One day we decided to, what money we had in retirement, we liquidated that and bought a house and brought it up to code and started taking kids in and trying to help them. Then one day, there were seven of them came to us in one family. The daddy died and the mother was institutionalized. We took all seven. The oldest one was 11. The youngest one was just a month old. You know where that oldest girl is now? She's in London working at a hospital. She has her master's degree. Her sister graduated 2 years ago from Timișoara University, a degree in chemistry. The third daughter graduated with a degree in computer science. Two boys are living in Germany working construction. They're married. I have two still in college. The baby just started, that little one-month-old girl just started in college this fall. She's in our Christian college over there in Romania right now. All of them saved. They would have been separated and taken apart, living in different orchards. They'd never been kept together as a family. If I hadn't ever done anything else in Romania except that, it'd have been worth me going for to save that family. I didn't know that before I went, but God did. God did. Now, there's thousands of orphans there. I couldn't help a thousand. The day came, that's what I told Carol, too. We kept picking these kids up for Sunday school and taking them back to the orphanages, and I looked at that and what the conditions were. And I told Carol one day, I said, maybe we can't help 1,000, maybe we can't help 100, but we sure as the world can help 10. Let me give you a principle here. Just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you're not responsible to do something. Amen? Do what you can. Do what you can. Help with transportation to the hospital. There's 1,000 ways you can do good in your community that God will bless. That's a wonderful thing. Socialize outside of church. Go out to eat with people. Go to family events with people. Have them into your home. Be sociable. If you really want to learn the language quick, invite teenagers to your house. Don't trust the older people. Older people are polite. They want to spare your feelings, and they'll lie to you, and they'll tell you that you're doing so well in the language when they can't understand a thing you're saying. Teenagers will laugh in your face, all right? It's crude, but it works, and you learn much quicker that way. They'll correct you, and that's really what you need. Let your new home become home to you. And let me say this, too. I know that I'm the stereotypical curmudgeon. I understand that at my age now, but social media is a good thing. I think it's a very good thing. God used it in so many ways. You're using it this week, and it's a great tool. It's also a dangerous thing. Missionaries will go to a mission field, and they'll never really break their tie. They never really assimilate because they're so connected back here. Don't let that happen to you. Let that be your home. Let that be your home. That's the secret to it. And then one last thing, and I'm done this morning, and that is this. Remember that you're an ambassador for Christ, not an ambassador for the United States. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:19, you know it well, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You're ambassadors for God. Now, if God has called you to a people, it's only because there's somebody there waiting to hear the gospel. And you don't have to fail. I mean, you just simply don't. There doesn't have to be any missionary failure. It's not necessary. When somebody fails, it's because they didn't do something right. Amen? Don't let it happen to you. There's been too many people pour too much of themselves into you too many prayers, too much investment, and people waiting on the other side that need the message of the gospel. Plan some things. Go on purpose and let God use you.